Call the case, please.
Case number 27177, State of Hawaii versus Stephen Reinhardt, arguing for the petitioner, Patricia Vermont, arguing for the respondent, Scott Gabriel, arguing for the parents.
Morning, counsel. Ready to proceed? Please.
May it please the court, Deputy Public Defender Kersha Durant, on behalf of the defendant appellant, Mr. Stephen Reinhardt. With this court's permission, I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. Thank you. Your Honors, there is insufficient evidence to support a conviction under Section 709-906, subsection 4 of the Hawaii Revised Statutes, because the defendant did not return to the premises as prohibited in the warning citation that was issued. The ICA, or the Intermediate Court of Appeals, gravely erred in affirming the conviction, and accordingly the conviction must be reversed. The ICA erroneously concluded that there was substantial evidence to support a conviction. There was no evidence of sufficient quality and probative value in this case to support such a conviction. There are certain undisputed facts in this case. That 239 Kauai Puna Place was a multi-unit dwelling, at least more than one unit. And specifically, Officer Nagano stated that it was a big house, two-story residence. That the warning citation that was admitted into evidence as State's Exhibit Number 1 specifically identified the premises as Number U, 239 Kauai Puna Place. That when Officer Nagano responded, Mr. Reinhardt was near his car. He was not in unit number U. He was not on the property where the building containing unit U was situated. Your Honor, based on the evidence that was presented at trial, the best evidence that the defendant was within the area of where Unit U or 239 Kauai Puna was located was the 3 to 4 feet. I believe that's what the trial court held as its finding of fact. The problem with the analytical process of determining that simply 3 to 4 feet means he was on the property, it's problematic. It's evidenced, I believe, by the fact that the trial court the trial court basically said that the 3 to 4 feet didn't mean that he was in the property, but that they were trying to draw an inference from that statement by the officer that he was on the property. And then the ICA took that further by erroneously applying an improper inference, applying the Maui County Code standards, which stated 6 to 10 feet setback from the building property, which is something that the defendant, Mr. Reinhardt, would not have been aware of. The problem, it's unclear from just simply saying insufficient evidence why there's no evidence to support this conviction. It's the analysis and how the court, the trial court, and the ICA reached that determination. Because before they could even determine that there was insufficient evidence to support a conviction, they had to determine what premises meant. And specifically, as far as the constitutional protections, if Mr. Reinhardt is assuming that premises meant what was clearly identified in the warning citation as Unit U of 239 Kauai Puna Place, there's a problem with due process and his notice as far as what was the prohibited conduct. Then if the court is going to interpret premises to mean the property where the building, where Unit U was situated, there's no evidence that the state presented at the trial court level to indicate that the 3 to 4 feet distance from the building was on the property. And then for the ICA to assume that simply because the Maui County Code requires that buildings have at least a 6 foot, if not a 10 foot distance from the property line, and then therefore this building must have been up to code, must have been built before that section of the code was applied and it wasn't grandfathered. Those are numerous improper inferences. It's too far attenuated as far as the chain of inferences for the court to find that simply being 3 to 4 feet from the building meant that he returned to the premises.
unit U indicates to me that there must have been several units there.
Yes, Your Honor.
A to U, at least. Is that right?
I believe that could be a reasonable inference.
But that particular building was just a one large home with, what did you say, two units?
Well, the evidence or the state of the evidence is unclear. It did appear from Officer Nagano's testimony that it was a big house, is how he described it, a two-story residence. The facts, and this also goes to sufficient evidence, Your Honor, that it's insufficient evidence simply to say that it was a big house, because clearly some of these terms are ambiguous. Whether he's saying it was a two-story residence, but clearly it wasn't just a single-family two-story residence. There were at least other units there.
Does the record reflect how many units there were?
The record reflects that there was at least two. And that's only drawing an inference from the statement made by the officers that it appeared to be a duplex.
Did the officer say there's an A side and B side?
Yes.
Does that mean that there was an A, 239A, 239B?
Well, that's what's unclear from the record, because even the officer was attempting to describe the building, but it didn't appear from the record that the officer was clear with the actual unit descriptions, what their letters were, how many there were, simply that it appeared to him to be a multi-unit dwelling.
Does the record reflect what unit U was?
The record does reflect that.
What was it?
The unit U was located on the second floor on the opposite end of the building from where the defendant's car was parked when the officers responded. And that is clear from Officer Nagano's testimony. He did make that very clear.
I mean, does the record reflect whether unit U consisted of half the building or a small part of the building? Or?
No, Your Honor. With regard to the size of the unit, no. But it is significant to note that on the warning citation that was admitted into evidence, 239 number U is identified as the address, which suggests that if it has its own mailing address, then it's a separate unit.
Would your position be any different with respect to the sufficiency of the evidence issue?
Yes.
Had the citation ordered Mr. Reinhardt to leave the premises located at 239 Kawaipuna Place?
Yes, Your Honor.
And why would it be different?
Because the fact that it included a specific unit is where the fatal defect, as far as the notice to the defendant, arises. If the defendant is considering the premises to be Unit U as it was clearly identified, it's unconstitutional for the court to then indicate that that meant 239 Kawaipuna Place. It leaves it open for arbitrary discretion of the police officers in determining what constitutes a violation of this offense. And it doesn't provide notice to the defendant on how he needs to conform his conduct in order to be law-abiding. And in fact, the evidence that was presented at trial suggested that he was trying to do just that. He was not parked on the property. When the officers had responded the night when the warning citation was issued, one of the officers did testify that Mr. Reinhardt's vehicle, his truck, was parked in the residence driveway. When the officers responded the next day, his car was not in the driveway. It was in a separate lot, which is where they identified where Mr. Reinhardt was. It appears that he is trying to conform his conduct and not return to the premises or to Unit U of 239 Kawaipuna Place. So then for the court, or then for the Intermediate Court of Appeals to determine that the premises didn't just mean Unit U as it was clearly identified on the warning citation, but rather meant the entire property and at least up to 6 to 10 feet beyond the building, it's problematic, because that's not something that a person of ordinary intelligence would be aware of.
So as a corollary, had the citation omitted you, in other words, you are ordered to leave the premises located at 239 Kawaipuna Place, for the designated period of time, would the evidence have been sufficient to convict Mr. Reinhart of violating the stay-away order?
Based on the facts that were presented in this record, no, Your Honor. And that is because
it doesn't matter whether you appears in the citation or not.
I'm sorry. I thought Your Honor was referring to my analysis of the case. It would have changed somewhat because there's a difference between it being a defective notice to the defendant as opposed to notice of where he was supposed to stay away from.
You're hanging your hat, are you not, on the presence of number U in the citation?
No, Your Honor. Our position does not fail simply if U was omitted from the citation. Regardless of whether it's U or 239 Kavai Puna Place, the problem is the interpretation of what constitutes the premises of 239 Kavai Puna Place.
Does the presence of number U in the citation, you know, quote unquote, affect the meaning of the word premises for purposes of this record?
We would argue yes, Your Honor.
How?
It affects it because it suggests that premises is only that particular unit in the building, and that's consistent with the further language of the warning citation, which says that he's allowed to return to the premises, Unit U, in order to retrieve his personal belongings. It's consistent with the legislative intent, which was that the purpose of the stay-away order was to allow for a cooling-off period or just a logistical separation of the parties.
So is it your position that the meaning of the word premises as it would apply to, quote, 239 Kavai Puna Place, unquote, would be different from the meaning of the word premises as applied to, quote, 239 U Kavai Puna Place?
With regard to the specific facts of this case, yes. And it goes to the sufficiency argument, Your Honor, because if the premises is U, it's clearly insufficient evidence, because there was no evidence presented with regard to that. If it's 239 Kavai Puna Place, it's still insufficient evidence. It's just a matter of the clarity. Then it goes to the inferences that were drawn in order to support that conviction, and the inferences, again, were improper. Because simply saying that 3 to 4 feet from the building is not sufficient to say that that's on the premises of 239 Kavai Puna Place.
So your position would be 3 to 4 feet away from the premises wouldn't indicate that 3 to 4 feet was within the grounds on which the building was situated?
Yes, Your Honor.
You talked about legislative history and the cooling-off period. If the purpose of the cooling-off period is to separate people, does it make much sense if premises is applied so narrowly that it is confined, say, in this case, to the apartment and not to the grounds which adjoin the apartment?
I certainly recognize that concern, Your Honor, but given that we may be talking about a small multi-unit dwelling, but there's dwellings such as Marco Polo where there's hundreds of units. And in that case, it would be appropriate to allow the siting officer to give them notice that it's just a specific unit, because you could be living in a unit with your family member on one floor and 20 floors below your mother lives. And I think with the legislative intent initially, when the stay-away or the warning, the cooling-off period was only 12 hours. Part of the reason why it had only been 12 hours was because the legislature was considering the interests of both parties. That while there is an interest, certainly, in allowing a cooling-off period, ensuring that no further abuse occurs, there is also the interest of an individual being taken out of his home that he lives in and pays for, and having to find another place to stay for an indefinite period of time. And so given that it's possible that multi-unit dwellings could be larger than just what was presented in this case, I don't believe it would be improper or inconsistent with legislative intent to narrowly construe it in that way.
In this particular case, the officer reported that the petitioner told him he returned to the residence. Now, that statement taken with other facts, would that constitute sufficient evidence?
Your Honor, no, it would not. Residence can be defined in very general terms. It could be very specific. It's clear in this case that the place where he resided was his unit U, and that's clear from the warning citation where he was ordered to stay away from that area. In order to draw an inference that that meant he returned to the premises, the court would also have to consider the undisputed facts of where he was located, which was not in his residence driveway. It was away from the property. Both officers described it as not on the property. When directly questioned, Officer Nagano was directly questioned, was that on the property at 239 Kavaipuna Place? He couldn't say that that was on the property. He was specifically, he was away from the residence. So for that to be the sole basis, or to draw an inference just from that statement without considering or disregarding the other facts, that would be improper. That alone would not support a conviction, Your Honor. Furthermore, given the fact that that statement, it's clear from the record, was made after the defendant was placed under arrest, after he had been Mirandized, after he had been effectively told he had done something wrong, I'm not suggesting that the statement was taken unconstitutionally, but viewing that statement in that context, and that's filtered through an officer and not a direct quote of defendant's words, that alone would not be sufficient evidence. It would not be probative, sufficient quality and probative value.
Well, Mr. Reinhart's location was observed by eyewitnesses, wasn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the record contains the testimony of those eyewitnesses with respect to the defendant's location, right?
The two officers, yes, Your Honor.
And if ultimately the outcome of this appeal turns on the meaning of the word premises, premises is a legal term of art, isn't it? I mean, it's a question of law as to what premises means, isn't it?
Yes and no, Your Honor. In this case, it is a question of law.
It may be fact-dependent, but ultimately, what premises means for purposes of the offense that the defendant is charged with is a question of law.
Yes.
All right, so the defendant's obviously not qualified to render a legal opinion.
Yes, Your Honor. And it was clearly erroneous. It was clearly incorrect for the trial court to find otherwise. In this case where we're talking about an individual who tried to conform his conduct by purposely not going back to the union, it was inappropriate for the court to interpret the term premises so broadly. And because of that broad interpretation and the fact that the word premises applies in 709-906 subsection 4, that it applies in the warning citation, and if that is the interpretation that the court is going to apply, it renders the entire case, it renders the charge against the defendant unconstitutional, because it would be vague, it would be overbroad, it would be reaching into constitutionally protected conduct, specifically as I described with the Marco Polo unit.
When we don't have a word defined in the statute, we can look to the dictionary meaning.
Yes, Your Honor.
The dictionary meaning of premises would be the building and the grounds pertinent to it. So if that's the dictionary meaning and the way that people would ordinarily understand that term, wouldn't that cover this situation?
It is defined in 708-800 that a premises is a building and the real property where the building is situated. The problem in this case is that just simply saying 3 to 4 feet from the building is the property where it's located is not sufficient evidence. It's clear from the officers that even the officers didn't believe that it was on the property. It was described as a warehouse away, a residence away, not on the property. And those are also ordinary people interpreting the term premises. And in their mind, he was not on the property.
One officer said that. The other officer sort of qualified that later on.
Yes.
The line to be drawn then is where? If premises means building and the grounds are pertinent to it, then if 239 Kauai Puna was, as we have here, a two-story building, and say, for example, 239 Kauai Puna, rather than being a two-story building, was a 20-story building, would your analysis be the same?
Given the language of the statute at this point and that it's unclear, my position would be that premises would mean whatever's identified in the citation, and if that is identified as just a general address and not a specific unit, then perhaps the premises or the real property where it's situated would be covered. But the fact that in this case there was a specific unit number, and it's not clear whether that meant Unit U or the build 239 Kauai Puna Place and all the property. That was the problem in this case, that the defendant did not have notice.
So if this were a 20-story building and the complainant's or petitioner's apartment was on the 20th floor and he was standing in the driveway, then he would be violating the rule under your position.
If it was just the address and not the unit, I can understand. I think I can recognize the validity of that type of argument. The problem in this case, regardless of whether it's the unit or the address, it's not clear to the defendant. Because even if we're talking about the address, it's still not clear what constitutes premises.
Are you arguing that stay away from the building and stay away from the unit mean two different things?
Well, these certainly meant two different things in this case, Your Honor, but I would argue, yes, that just in general, ordinary person's interpretation, it would mean two different things. And there was a conflict with the warning citation and the notice that was given to the defendant because it suggested to him that he had to stay away from Unit U. But even besides that, the defendant went over and beyond and was extra cautious and didn't even go back to the property. And nonetheless, the trial court erroneously found that there was evidence to support the conviction.
If the 3 to 4 feet were part of the property, then this would be a valid citation?
No, Your Honor. There would still be issues of constitutionality as far as the definition of premises and how it applied in this case, because it would have been vague and overbroad, given the fact that there was a specific unit and that his going back, he, as it stands right now, and the notice he was given, he could have gone back to that unit. I'm sorry, he could have gone back to other units.
What about the Marco Polo example where he's on the 20th floor, it says 2001, apartment number 2001. If he's on the grounds but not in the apartment, is that a violation?
If he's given the notice that he has to remain away from the unit and he's on the grounds, it would not be a violation. Because it would be an unconstitutional violation if it was one, because there's a problem with notice to the defendant on where his conduct needs to be conformed in order to be consistent with the laws binding on him. So there's a problem with the term premises and the definition and how it was applied. There's ways that it could have been maybe more easily identified, but those methods weren't used in this case.
In other words, if the citation had ordered the defendant to leave the premises located at 239 Kauai Puna Place, you concede that that would extend at least to the real property on which 239 Kawai Puna Place was located?
Yes, but that is different
although
from...
Although you don't concede that the record is... the record in this case establishes that the defendant was on the real property on which 239 Kawai Puna Place was located, even if number U had been left off the citation.
Well, it would have been the state's burden in the case to present the evidence that 3 to 4 feet was within property, was on the property where it was situated. And to jump to Maui County codes and other types of information in order to draw that inference is inappropriate. The state didn't meet its burden in this case. If they had presented a map that could have laid out the land codes and said this was the area where the building was situated and this was the property line, that would have been different. But it was clear from all the witnesses that he did not appear to be on the property. Your Honors, my time for the initial portion is up. I would respectfully request to be released. I will revisit the issues in rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning. Please, the court. Deputy Prosecuting Attorney Scott Anano, appearing on behalf of Respondent Appellee State of Hawaii. The state's position is that the legislature intended to adopt the plain and obvious meaning as defined by Webster's Dictionary in describing what the defining premises as the building and the surrounding grounds pertinent to. And we can infer that for several reasons. The basic rule of statutory interpretation is that a provision of a penal statute will be accorded a limited and reasonable interpretation in order to preserve its overall meaning and to avoid absurd results, and also to uphold the plain and obvious meaning of the statute wherever possible. Looking for guidance in determining the mean definition of a statute, we can look to several references. First of all, we look to the statute itself. Is there any defining definition in the statute itself? And if you look to the statute in question, which is 709, there actually is no specific definition that the legislature put defining premises. The inference there is that they intended to adopt the plain and dictionary meaning of meaning the building and the dwelling or the underlying ground surrounding grounds. If we look to other portions in the Hawaii Rights Statutes.
Assuming all of that, do you believe that the description within the four corners of a citation, stay-away order, of premises can affect the boundary or extent of the premises?
Pardon me again?
I don't blame you. Would it have made any difference if the citing police officer had left the number U out of the citation?
I believe not. I believe whether the U was in or not, it would encompass not only the unit itself, but the surrounding area.
I suppose the record is silent with respect to why the citing officer included unit U.
Well, I have an explanation for that. The court will allow me
to
go on. Again, once in looking to how the legislature defines certain terms, we can look to other how they define terms in other portions of the Hawaii Revised Statute. And an example, if we look to section 286-1, which is the licensing section, and look under the definition of motor vehicle. According to Webster's Dictionary, motor vehicle is defined as an automobile which is operated on a highway. Now, in 286-2, which is the general definition section for that particular chapter of the Hawaii Vice Statutes, the legislature included a specific definition of motor vehicle, which deviated from the normal, plain, and obvious meaning of Webster's dictionary. They define motor vehicle as, motor vehicle means every vehicle which is self-propelled, and every vehicle which is propelled by electric power, but which is not operated upon rails, but excludes a moped. Now, we can also look to section 291C-1, where the legislature, again, put a specific definition for motor vehicle, which deviated from the general definition given by Webster's Dictionary. And 291C-1, the definition of motor vehicle is defined as, motor vehicle means every vehicle which is self-propelled, and every vehicle which is propelled by electric power, but not operated upon rails, but excludes a moped. So here we can look that, if you look to the general definition of on the Webster Dictionary, they put a specific section in that deviated from that section.
Isn't there a difference between a citation that says, I order you to stay away from that building, on the one hand, and a citation that says, I order you to stay away from that unit in the building, on the other? Or are they the same?
Well, I think that the reference to the unit U was reference to a general location of where the unit was, where the premises was located.
Well, in other words, also a reference to where the defendant lived, isn't that right?
Yes, that's true.
I mean, isn't it self-evident? Isn't it intuitively obvious that that's why unit U appears in the citation?
I think it was to allow the defendant to know where the general location was. So I think I would argue that whether it's 290, 239, or whether the U was on or not, it doesn't make a difference. Now, if you're going to take, if the court's going to take a narrative view and just limit it to premises defined as a unit itself, then that would exclude the common areas, that would exclude the driveway, or any other areas that are not specifically contained within that unit.
Well, the nature of the citation permits the citing officer to describe the premises, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And the officer is free, on the one hand, to describe the premises as a building, or to describe the premises as a particular unit within the building. Isn't that so?
Yes, correct.
Do they mean the same thing?
I think 239 is a general reference to us to a location, a general location. 239 with the U would, I guess, specific reference to his residence. Now, if you look at 709-90.
What if the citation had been worded in terms of premises located at Kavai Puna Place? Would that have been a legitimate citation?
Yes, it would have.
And what would that have prohibited the defendant from re-entering?
It would have been the premises, the unit U, as well as the surrounding areas.
No, I'm dropping the 239. Premises located at Kavai Puna Place. Would that be a legitimate citation?
No, because Kavai Puna Place could consist of either the entire street, more than one unit, several units. So by
just as a building can consist of one unit or multiple units.
That is correct. And I think in this case what we might have is either a duplex where you have an A and a B in a common area, which is, you know, where probably the defendant parked, or a duplex with one unit having a single story, another unit having, within a separate duplex, a double story, and his unit being on top.
Police officer faced with a situation where there are multiple apartments in a building, cite simply to the address of the building?
Generally, that's what happens.
Without indicating a specific apartment?
Yeah.
So, what happened in this case then? Why did they cite U? Why did the officer insert number U?
I think to reference the specific residence for the purpose of allowing the...
Of what need was there for that?
To identify the unit that the appellant could return to.
But wasn't, quote, number U, unquote, complete surplusage, according to your argument?
I think it was used to identify a specific unit.
Yeah, but the scope of the citation, according to you, is the same whether the officer identifies a unit or not.
The definition of premises, according to the plain and obvious meaning, whether you cited the U or not, would include the unit itself, whether it's U.
In other words, according to your argument, the presence of number U in the citation does not add anything to what, by its plain language, it is ordering the defendant not to re-enter or to leave for a particular period of time.
That's correct. And it gives a point
of... So the number U is surplusage, isn't that so?
Well, it gives reference to a specific unit within the...
I know, I've heard that several times now. But isn't it surplusage, according to your argument?
I would argue yes.
Wouldn't the ordinary police officer, or generally speaking, pinpoint what unit in a multiple unit building would be involved in the citation? I mean, if there are like 50 units in a building, wouldn't the officer say specifically unit 51? Or sorry, unit 49 or unit 2 or unit 5?
Well, I think in those cases you have independent structures which are independent of one another. In this case, as a lot happens on Maui, what happens is that there's actually a house, maybe a two-story house. A lot of people will rent the bottom unit and the top unit, and as a result, in order to differentiate the two, designate a letter or number for one and for another for the bottom to identify the tenants.
If it's an officer's intention, in order to attempt to ensure the safety of an individual, to keep a defendant away from a building, then doesn't the officer order the defendant in the citation to stay away from that building?
That particular building, yes. But I think the intent of the statute was not only to keep the person away from a specific building, from the surrounding areas, in order to protect the safety of the victim.
But you're arguing that 239 number U is coextensive, for purposes of the meaning of the word premises, with the entire building plus the real property it's situated on, correct?
Well, the surrounding area, the grounds, encompass part of the premises identified as...
Yeah, so at the very least, you're arguing that 239U is coextensive with 239.
I 239 could be the general description of the whole property.
For purposes of determining whether the defendant committed a crime, 239U equals 239. Isn't that your argument?
My argument is that 239U is a separate unit, and as part of that unit in the definition of premises, it also includes the surrounding area,
so
which includes...
For purposes of determining whether the defendant committed a violation of 709906 4B, 239U is coextensive with 239. Isn't that right?
logically, that would have to be your answer if you're talking about common elements, et cetera, right? So what's your absurdity argument then?
If you adopt the defendant's position, the appellant's position, and limit only the definition of premises to the unit, specific unit, just the building itself, then that doesn't uphold the intent of the legislature, because then he could go to the common areas, he could go to the area where he went, he could go to the driveway. As long as he did not actually enter a residence, then
so
there would be no violation.
So if the defendant walked outside of Unit U and went down to his truck and sat in his driveway, attached, I guess, to his building, then would he be violating this citation?
Yes, he would, under the definition of premises.
If you take the position that he's not violating the citation, what would your argument be that he's not violating the citation?
If you're going to narrowly construe the definition of premises, then you're going to have to require each officer to not only know every county ordinance as far as the setbacks, you're also going to have to have each officer know the basic TMK of each property that it goes to. Also, you're going to have a meets and bounds description if you want to be specific. It's going to prevent undue burden on the officers. Also, even if you did that and you narrowly construed it, I'm not sure if anyone of normal intelligence could understand it.
Well, I gave you an easy example because the driveway is pretty easy. But when you talk about meets and bounds, is there any proof that this 3 or 4 feet where the defendant was or petitioner was located was part of the property on which the building was situated?
The only reference to that would be by the officer who said that the defendant was 3 to 4 feet away from the actual building.
Is there any proof that that 3 to 4 feet was within the boundaries of the land on which this building was situated?
No, there was outside of the testimony.
So then there is not sufficient evidence then on this record to sustain the violation that, or the contention that the defendant violated this citation, because he was not on, there's no evidence he was on the land attached or on which the building was situated.
Well, the ICA took judicial notice according to the county ordinance.
What about the argument raised by defense counsel that there was not sufficient linkage in the record because we don't know whether the building violated the code, whether the building was grandfathered, or whether the building had a variance?
I think in the defendant's mind or in a person of reasonable intelligence would assume that 3 to 4 feet from the building would be part of the property, part of the premises.
That loops us back to the fact that for better or for worse, the officer didn't order the defendant to leave a building. The officer ordered the defendant to leave a unit.
The reference to the building is to assume a general point of reference as to where the property is located. If the officer were required to put in all the places that the defendant was not to be there, then he would have to have extensive knowledge of the property itself.
39 would pretty much cover it, wouldn't it? Without further modification or restriction.
Well, the argument that they made is whether it was 239U or 239. That's
my point. If the officer had ordered the defendant to leave 239 Kavaipuna Place, the only dispute that we would be asked to resolve was whether 3 to 4 feet from that building is good enough. Isn't that right?
That's correct.
Unambiguously. because the defendant would have been ordered to stay away from that building.
I think that still would be ambiguous, 3 or 4 feet. I mean, to stay away from a building.
Well, I mean, if you're inside the building, there's nothing ambiguous about having returned to the building. Isn't that so?
And that would limit it only to the building and not the surrounding areas.
That's why I say the only dispute, if the officer had simply said, I order you to leave 239 Kawai Puna Place, would be whether 3 to 4 feet from, on the ground, outside of 239 Kawai Puna Place, was a violation of the order, correct?
Yes.
Would you say 7 feet is close to the building?
I think it would be taken on a fact-by-fact basis. Again,
in this case, would 7 feet be close to the building? Or as officer said, near to the building?
It would depend on how far the other unit, the other duplex,
7 feet
was
from the wall of
from the
building.
Wall.
Is that near to the building?
I would say, in my mind, yes, that's near to the building.
Then he would be outside the 6 feet that the Maui Code establishes as the minimal property line. And thus, not guilty. So where's the line drawn then? I mean, the court in this case said it expected a map. Is there any problem with that? Why wasn't that done in this case? Or is it necessary in most cases?
Once again, I think the officers, to require them to have an exact description of the property, would require each officer to know the specific boundaries of each particular property. And I think that's, you know, basically unrealistic. In this case, because you have a duplex, it's not clear where the common area was. In areas on Maui where you have residential areas where there's no fence and there's just, you know, an open area, it's not clear where one property ends and one property begins. The officer, in his judgment, put down, you know, what he did. But nonetheless, in the definition of premises, it does encompass that area around. And I think a reasonable person of reasonable intelligence, 3 to 4 feet, in this case, going on these facts in this situation, would say that would be on the property.
On what basis? Is it just common sense? Or what's the basis for 3 to 4 feet? No map, and we don't know whether the code applies or not.
And most people who own homes are familiar with homes know that it does not only, the boundary doesn't line doesn't end where the building ends, but there's generally a buffer anywhere from 3 to 6 feet in most areas, residential areas. So in most people's mind, the what constitutes a premises in their mind is not only the actual structure itself, but a buffer zone of, you know, in this case, I guess, 3 to 6 feet.
Counsel, I have a question. I'm a little confused. One of the officers say that the truck was parked in the residence before. I assume, like, driving down the street, the defendant's truck is parked in the residence before 239.
He may have been referring to the duplex, that I guess the separate unit, that in his mind that wasn't where the defendant resided, so making reference to that.
Okay, so he's saying he parked in the officer's words, a house alone. Is that right?
I think in his mind that's how he interpreted it.
So how could the truck then be, so is the officer, are you sure the officer's referring to 3 to 4 feet from the 239, or is it 3 to 4 feet from the other house?
It was from the unit U. I guess, like I said, there was a duplex, and there was an unpaved road or unpaved area in between, and that's where the truck was.
Okay.
for the defendant to park.
Does it make sense if it's 3 to 4 feet from the building to say that the truck was parked a house away? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
He may have been referring to the other house. Well, that it was on the that house, not in reference to the unit.
Does the record reflect whether there are drawings, you know, like an eraser board or something, or was it just all nobody diagrammed anything at the trial court level?
Well, there were two officers, right? One testified to a location that seemed different from what the other officer testified to.
Right.
Minutes for rebuttal.
Your Honors, first of all, I just want to address what was raised by the state with regard to the 3 to 4 feet description. In the record, it's clear that it's 3 to 4 feet, not from the side of the building where the unit U was located, but from the opposite side. And I just wanted to clarify that because that is part of the reason why there's insufficient evidence. I think the questions that were posed to the state regarding how the officers would articulate what area the defendant needed to remain away from highlights the problems with this citation, with the definition of premises. And I just want to clarify also an earlier statement I made about premises and what that was defined. In this case, 239U meant that was the premises. That's clear from the language of the citation. To interpret it otherwise would be depriving the defendant of due process of law notice. But even if the court were to construe premises to mean the building where U was situated, there's insufficient evidence to support that, given that there's only a statement of 3 to 4 feet from the opposite side where his unit was situated. It's not clear from the record whether 3 to 4 feet is on the property line. And the fact that in order for the officers to determine what specific spot the defendant would have to stay away from and need meets and bounds and some types of diagrams suggests that for an ordinary person of reasonable intelligence like the defendant, it would be impossible for him to know what the limits were and to conform his conduct accordingly.
A corollary of your argument is that a citing officer has the instrumentality to expand or contract the scope of the premises that is the subject of the citation.
As the citation is worded now, yes. And specifically to address that, the officer in this citation on State's Exhibit 1, at the top it says street address for the defendant. He could have identified the street address as Unit U, and then further down where it says he's hereby ordered to leave the premises at, he could have just put a general address of 239 Kavai Puna Place, but he didn't. He specified a unit, and that was the knowledge that the defendant operated under when he was trying to conform his conduct.
If you argue that the term premises is too vague and therefore the statute is unconstitutional, if that's an argument, then what would the legislature substitute in terms of the word premises?
Instead of premises, as far as the citation, the word premises could just be eliminated from the citation, and just simply that he is ordered to remain away from this particular area.
So when the legislature used the term premises, were they indicating, was it indicating something more than just the specific unit listed?
Well, at the time when the legislator may have codified 709906 and used the word premises, I'm sorry, Your Honor, I see my time is up.
You may complete your
Thank you, Your Honor. With regard to premises and when it was when the statute was enacted, it's likely that the legislature didn't consider this concept of multi-unit dwellings. But even more so, it's also possible that the legislature was trying to defer some type of discretion to the officers to determine what would constitute the premise. And that's why warning citation allows for him to identify 239 Kavai Puna Place or 239U. But with that in mind, then the notice that was given to the defendant was to stay away from Unit U.
Well, if one is going to or needs to reach the constitutional question or vagueness argument, it would have been helpful for the legislature to define premises, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would have. And there, but even in reviewing 708-800, which defines premises, even defining, reviewing Black's Law Dictionary, which also defines premises, it's a building and real property. I'm sorry, Your Honor, I believe Black's doesn't actually. I did not confirm whether Black's. I believe I looked up inference in there. But it was clearly identified in 708-800 what premises constituted, and it was the building and the real property. And again, as I indicated, with these facts, there's insufficient evidence even to support that. But with regard to premises of a specific unit, as homeowners are aware, their specific unit does entitle them to ownership of that property, and that's the real property where their unit is situated. So the term premises could even apply to the specific unit U. And for all of the reasons that I've discussed, the inherent ambiguity of the warning citation, the inappropriate application and interpretation of the word premises when applying it to the facts of this case, for all of those reasons, the conviction against Mr. Reinhart must be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take this matter under advisement.
Besides, this honorable Supreme Court of the State of Illinois has adjourned.